This morning, talked to Brother Rick yesterday, and I said, you know, is there anything that I can do? You know, I'll have to admit, and I hope it affects us all in some way, whenever you have a part of the church body hurting, it hurts me, you know, and I hope it hurts us all. You know, it's part of our body, if you will. And I asked him, is there anything I can do? He says, you know, pray. You know, truth of the matter is, when you don't always know what to do, I know that a lot of us would like to reach out. And, you know, I watched him there a minute. I said, I wish it was me. You know, I wish it was me, you know, just knowing that this could affect him and for a long term, for a little while and so forth. But he said, pray. And truth is, when you don't always know what to do for somebody else, that's what we ought to be doing. The title of my message this morning is on prayer, and this was already prepared before this accident with Brother Rick, but Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll stand for the reading of the Word of God. We'll read responsively 10 through 18. 18 is our text verse. We will read responsively verses 10 through 18. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. I'll read, and then you read. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18 together, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. And again, this morning, I need your strength, Holy Spirit. I need your clarity and your thought this morning. I pray, dear God, that you just, Holy Spirit, land on every heart. I pray, God, that we'll be sensitive to your spirit this morning and whatever you would have in each and every individual life. I pray, God, you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, the title of my message is Prayer, That Secret Weapon. We'll get to that in just a moment. We're never going to be exempt from battles and trials on this side of heaven. One of these days, I thank God for the fact that any pains that we woke up with this morning, it'll be gone one day when we get to heaven. Any heartache that we woke up with this morning, it'll be gone. Hey, them bills that we get every month, they'll be gone in heaven, amen? But all them little heartaches and all them little struggles that we go through, they'll be gone one day. But on this side of heaven, on earth, we need to be prepared for battles. Paul is teaching us that we will have battles. As a matter of fact, Paul was in a battle in and of himself right here when he was writing this. He was in prison. He's teaching us that we'll have battles to face in the Christian life. We'll not escape the battles and trials on this side of earth. And the truth of the matter is, we ought to allow our trials and our battles to grow us instead of pulling us away from God. We ought to learn from our battles. But, you know, we have the power to win. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. You and God make a majority. We in the world are a minority. If we link up with the world when the battles come, you know what? We're doomed for failure. We're doomed to go ahead and lose. But the truth of the matter is, when we team up with God and when we do as he says right here, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, that's a command right there. God says, listen, I've given you all the power. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, okay? You want strength in the Lord? You got to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Now, he commands, if you want the strength that I can give you, you got to go ahead and do some things yourself. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The reason is the devil's against us. He's not for us this morning. He doesn't want us being here this morning. He doesn't want you, mom and dad, to teach your boys and girls how to pray and to walk with God. He doesn't want you, mom and dad, to go ahead and have the Bible and Christ be the center of your home. The truth is, that's exactly opposite of what the devil wants for you. But that's what God wants. And because we, if we live for God, if we go ahead and give God our all, And he deserves our all because he gave all to us. Amen. But because we ought to be giving God our all. The truth of the matter is, when a Christian goes ahead, says, okay, God, I'll sell out for you. I'll be what you want me to be. Let me tell you something. That makes the devil angry. The devil will do everything he can to go ahead and try to pull you away from right, pull you away from church, pull you away from this Bible right here. He'll do everything he can. And Paul exhorts us right here. You know, I love Paul. Paul is not discouraged. You don't see, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe he is, maybe in his heart of hearts, but you know what? He says, you know what? How am I going to go ahead and get through prison? Hey, I'm going to be strong in the Lord. I'm going to keep on that armor, and I'm going to latch it on good and tight, and we're going to talk about the secret weapon, which is prayer, which goes hand in hand with all these pieces. But Paul exhorts us here, be strong in the Lord. He tells us to put on the whole armor of God. He tells us it's the necessary defense that we need to fight against the devil, and we must latch it on good and tight every single day. Don't you be lax about this armor of God. Don't you say, well, I don't need this today. Yes, you do need it. The very day that you don't think you need a part of that armor is the very day that you needed it for the defense. Amen? And the truth of the matter is you ought to latch that armor on good and tight every single day. All the pieces of armor are for our defense and for our protection. But one piece is the offense. It's the word of God. Okay, everything else is for defense. Now, we have the Word of God, and that's our offensive weapon. This is what we use to attack, amen? You know, that's why it's important to go ahead and memorize Scripture. That's why, when Jesus was tempted in the garden by the devil up on the mount, you know what? He quoted the Word of God. He says, he quoted the Word of God, and that caused the devil to go ahead and flee. And the truth of the matter is, if you're going to go ahead and you got to have your defense, but you got to have this offensive weapon, the Word of God, it's got to be a part of your life. You got to memorize Scripture. Thy word have I hid my heart that I might not sin against God. The more that you memorize Scripture, the more that you put the Word of God in your heart, you know what? The less that you will sin. You will not live perfect on this side of heaven, but you can go ahead and live exactly how God wants you to live, and you'll have the strength that God can give you, the strength that you need if you go ahead and you hide the Word of God in your heart. Yeah, that one piece is of offense is the Word of God. The devil hates this book right here. He does everything he can with all these other versions out there to water it down, to have people cast doubt on it. It's all around. In our so-called religion today, it's all around, casting doubt on the Word of God. He loves all these other versions printed that water down the blood of Christ and the deity and the necessary essential doctrines of the Bible. But I want to present to you this morning, you know what? We need to have this weapon. We need to go ahead and have the armor latched on good and tight. But I'm going to go ahead and present to you another weapon that I believe is very, very important for the success of a Christian this morning. It is a secret weapon, if you want to call it that. It is a weapon that is just as necessary as all the other pieces of the armor. We find it in verse 18. That weapon is prayer. You know, if there is one thing that I see that churches are lacking, that America is definitely lacking today, and Christians are lacking today, it's prayer. We need to get on bended knee again. You know, the church of Jesus Christ needs to get on bended knee again. America needs to get on bended knee again. We won't see revival in this great country of ours until we get on bended knee again. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, the Bible says, hey, we got to get back on bended knee again. It is essential that we have a prayer life. I believe that it's very, very important that we have a prayer life to go ahead and back up all the other armor. You got to have a prayer life. You gotta, through prayer, we gain the necessary strength and courage necessary to stand forth and fight in the heat of the battle. It's through prayer that happens. I believe without prayer, we are doomed to failure. Boy, we need, God's people needs to pray again. We're doomed to failure without it. But with it and all the other pieces of God's armor firmly fixed in place, we cannot be defeated, and we will surely beat the old devil. Let me tell you something, the devil's having a heyday today. He's doing everything he can to destroy families, good, godly Christian families. He's doing everything he can to try to destroy churches like this. There was a day that you could almost go to corner, to town across America and find a good, solid, Bible-believing Baptist church that believed in the old way, that believed in the blood of Christ, that believed in salvation by grace through faith. But now some of them churches have closed their doors. Some have changed their doctrine, whatever the case may be. But we need to go ahead and get back to prayer so that we can go ahead and have, the Bible says, having done all to stand. We're not going to go ahead and stand if we don't go ahead and get on our knees and pray again. We won't have the strength to go ahead and stand if we don't go ahead and keep God included in our everyday life. Your family could be doomed for failure if you don't go ahead and get God back in the center of your home. If you don't go ahead and get God back in the center of your life, that doesn't mean that you're not saved if you don't pray. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? Your Christian life will grow if you make your prayer life a part of your every single day. You know what? You latch on that arm of good and tight. You have a walk with God. You know what? You won't be doomed for failure. You won't be one of these casualties, if you will. Well, I'm going to go ahead and quit the ministry. I'm going to go ahead and quit church. I'm going to go ahead and quit this and so forth. You know, the reason why a lot of people quit is we fail to pray. We fail to have that walk with God. And boy, you know, it's so vital. It's so very important. Just as all the other pieces of armor are very important in the heat of the battle, when the battles come, the cancer comes, the heartaches come, the financial problems come. You know what? And you know what? And if you dwell on them, if you go ahead and let them dominate your life, it's no wonder that you'll get discouraged. I told Brother Rick yesterday. I know that he was a little discouraged. He'd even tell you that. I know he would. But the truth of the matter is, I said, don't let this get you down. He says, no. He says, I know there's a silver lining. He says, I know that there's a reason for it. He says, I wish just like we all do when we go through our problems and so forth, we wish we could understand it right then and there. But he says, preacher, he says, you don't have to worry. He says, yeah, I'll admit, kind of threw me for a loop a little bit. But he says, I know God's in control. I said, boy, Brother Rick, I said, you keep that attitude. You keep God first and foremost. You're going to get through this. And let me just go ahead and stop and say this. He's not going through this by himself. We're going through it with him. Doesn't matter who we are this morning. If one of us in this room are sick or we're ailing, we're going through it with you. That's what it's all about. That's what Christianity is, by the way. But we, you know what, we need to be getting back to bended knee. We need prayer. If we don't pray, we are doomed to failure. But with prayer and the other pieces of God's armor firmly fixed in their places and latched on tight, we cannot be defeated, and we can surely beat the old devil. I feel that if there's a place lacking in our Christian lives right now, it is that necessary component, and that is prayer. That's fervent prayer. Prayer that takes time. I'm talking about not just brushing it off and, dear Lord, just give me a good day today, okay? That's fine, and that's good to pray that, but the truth of the matter is, boy, you know what? It'd be good to get back into our prayer closet. Be good to go ahead and shut things down, shut off the TV and shut off the cell phone and shut off the radio and shut off the computer and shut off all the other screens that are in our life and everything else, and even shut out everything, and you and God, you get into your prayer closet, and it's time for you to go ahead and pray. You know what? That's the kind of prayer we need. We need a fervent prayer, a prayer that takes some time where it's just you and God in that prayer closet, nobody else, but you and God doing a great work, and you asking God to go ahead and move in your life. I believe that prayer lacks in us Christians. I believe that prayer lacks in our churches today, and obviously in our nation. We're going to see revival come to America. We need to get back to prayer. If we're going to have revival in our own lives, by the way, if for revival to come to America and to come to this great nation, we've got to have revival in our own life. That's where it's going to start. It's going to start with us. And it's going to start with us consistently bending our knee in prayer. So this morning, I'm going to give you some thoughts on what Christian soldiers ought to do with this secret weapon that I believe is prayer. And Paul puts it right here at the very end of that list of necessary armor that we need. And praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What is, number one, the definition of prayer? You know, prayer can be defined as the spiritual activity in which the child of God engages the Heavenly Father in a two-way dialogue. That's what prayer is. Some people go ahead, they think it's such a spooky thing. It's nothing spooky. It is just, it can be just you. It's just you and God just having a two-way conversation, and you just talking to Him. You know, He wants to hear your heartaches. You say, well, He already knows. Yes, He already does know, but you know what? He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear your heartaches. He wants you to go ahead and present your bills to him. He wants you to go ahead and present your health situations to him. He wants you to go ahead and present your woes to him. He also wants to hear your praise and adoration and your thankfulness to him. Hey, he wants to hear from you. It's a two-way dialogue. It's as if you sit down with a friend and you sit down across from a table, you're having a two-way dialogue. You sit down, it's a good idea to do this with your spouse as well. Sit down with your spouse and have a two-way dialogue and talk and communicate. This dialogue only, though, prayer is a dialogue that's only with a holy God. Prayer is an activity that can be practiced at any time. Prayer is an activity that can be practiced at any place and for any purpose. People say, I don't have time for fervent on-my-knees prayer in the prayer closet. The truth of the matter is we really do. We really do have time. It's amazing what we find time for. Amen? We seem to find time for the TV, and I'm not preaching against it, but we've seemed to find time for all the things that we really feel like doing that is fun and so forth. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? You get in an important dialogue with God, you know what? You'll have a fun prayer life. When you get to a point on your knees and you're just giving your heart to God, let me tell you something. It's fun to see what God is going to do. Sometimes you don't always see, hey, is my health going to get better? Hey, you just keep on praying. You keep on persevering in prayer, as the Bible says. You keep on praying until the answer comes. You'll be amazed exactly what God will do. You can have a fun prayer life, if you will. But you know, the truth of the matter is, how often I've heard, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for prayer. I barely have time to do everything. Hey, you know what? It might be that, you know what? You know why we don't have time? Because we don't schedule it. We'll schedule everything else. We'll schedule everything else that's important. But you know the truth of it. You think about the driving time that you have going back and forth to work. Maybe it is only 5 minutes down the road, but you know what? That's 10 minutes a day at least you could start with. Amen. You know what? But, well, my favorite talk radio or this is on. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know what? You might need to just shut that radio off. And if you have trouble with it and if it goes to interferes with your prayer life, you know, I said it last Sunday night, take a hammer to it. And you know what? You won't have a radio to go ahead and listen to anyways. Okay? So, well, I can't do that. You know, whatever the case, but you know, the truth of the matter is, we do find time for the things that we want to do. You know what? If you got 10 minutes a day, start with 10 minutes a day. And when you go ahead and you bow your head in fervent prayer, bend a knee, and you start giving God 10 minutes, you'll be amazed how much longer it'll start getting. You'll be amazed when you go out and see God doing some great things in your life through your prayer life. You'll be amazed how it won't be long before you might be 20 minutes. It won't be long before you might be praying for 30 minutes. Hey, what I'm trying to say this morning is we need to get back to prayer. That driving time to work, finding a time in your home, maybe early in the morning, whatever the case may be, finding that prayer time and that walk with God time. You know what? Like I said, driving time to work, right there's a good time. You know, I drove back from Boston yesterday. I got thinking, you know, of people that drive from this area to go to Boston. I said, generally, technically, it's supposed to be about 40 minutes. I mean, almost an hour and a half to get home yesterday. And I got thinking, in that time of morning going to work in that area, I'm sure that a lot of us, I mean, it doesn't matter where you go. It might be Boston, but I'm just thinking, if you're working somewhere and you hit traffic, man, what an opportunity to go ahead and pray. You know, it might just be, you know what, we get so in tune with God, he'll find yourself a clear path so you can get to work, amen? But the truth of the matter is, but what a splendid time to go ahead and pray. Now, as you're driving along, let me just go ahead and advise you this. If you're driving along, don't close your eyes and pray, okay? Might, could be, you know, don't do that, okay, obviously. But you know what, prayer. You know, the time is there. If we, you know, it's amazing what we're willing to go ahead and give up. It's just, what are you willing to go ahead and give up to spend precious moments with the Savior? Prayer is that process by which we dress up for the armor of God. Prayer is the power by which we go forth to battle in God's army. Prayer is tapping into the resource that is necessary to have the strength to fight for the day, to fight that battle, to fight that situation. Prayer is a practice by which we appropriate and aim God's artillery. Prayer is the single greatest force ever unleashed on this earth when you think about it. You know, there's never a time that we're more like Christ when we pray than when we pray. Never a time that we're more like Christ than when we pray. You know, the world is having a heyday and finding ways to go ahead and close our churches and to try to take away our Bibles. But you know what? No one can ever stop God's people from calling upon God. I was thinking of people who died at the stake for the cause of the Word of God, for the cause of Christ. And how often I would, reading the Fox's Book of Martyrs, you know what? Sometimes they'd be singing the old hymns of the faith as the flames are taking them. Sometimes they would go ahead and be praying out to God as the flames were swallowing them up. Hey, you know what? Prayer is the greatest thing. No one can go ever. It doesn't matter what situation it is. It doesn't matter whether you're persecuted. Nobody can ever take away your prayer time. You can always talk to God. The greatest need today is prayer. Prayer brings a Christian into the almighty presence of God. Prayer brings the power of God in a Christian's life. There's never a time that we're more like Christ than when we go ahead and we bow our heads in prayer. You know, the moments in the garden, what was Jesus doing? He was praying. He was praying. You know, the darkest hour of his life, by the way, he was praying. Let me just stop and say this as a little side note. You know, right there is a good lesson for us when we face the darkest hour of our life. You know, sometimes the old devil will say, well, see, I told you so. See, God didn't, you know, if God really loved you, this wouldn't have gone ahead and happened. You know, that's a lie from the devil, by the way. You know what? When Jesus was in his darkest hour, in just a little while, he's going to be facing the biggest turmoil and struggle of his life. He's dying on a cross for the world. But you know what? In his darkest hour, what did we find Jesus doing? He was praying. And let me just stop and say this. You know what? In your darkest hour, where will you find yourself? You know, so many people often, and even some good Christians, when the darkest hour comes, the old devil kind of stray you away a little bit, and you'll find yourself in the wrong place. You find yourself drinking the wrong stuff, maybe in the wrong place, in the bar room doing whatever, and we feel like we can, well, I'll just drown all my sorrows in that. No, the truth of the matter is when you come off from that, the troubles are still there. The truth of the matter is, instead of running to the world, and I've seen Christians go ahead and do this, when the trials come, we run to the world, and we run to drugs, and we run to the world's crowd or whatever, trying to find a little bit of peace and happiness. Hey, let me just say this, Christian. Hey, you know, at the darkest hour of your life, you ought to find yourself in the garden or in your closet praying to a holy God who knows exactly what you're going through. He knows your trial. He knows your heartache. He knows your pain. And don't run to the world. Hey, run to Jesus. He knows exactly where you are this morning. Find yourself in prayer. On the cross, what was Jesus doing? He was praying. Mocking him on that cross. But you know what? He saw us, and he saw that crowd down there mocking him. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what we do. Right there is an example of a prayer life. I know what Christian is. It's being Christ-like. That's what that term means. You know what? We can never be more like Christ than when we go ahead and bow our knees in prayer. Hey, listen, we need to get back to praying. On the cross, he was praying. The best thing that we can do for people is sincerely pray for them. The best thing you can do in your Christian life is pray. The greatest tools a Christian has is prayer. In prayer, most people have been heard, helped, and strengthened by God. You know, how often I'll get a call to a hospital or get a phone call and so forth and to come by, and they'll share their heartache and so forth. But never, never have I had a house call say, hey, preacher, before you leave, could you pray with me? You know, they want me to pray. They want me to pray. Prayer soothes. Prayer eases the mind. Prayer is like a salve, if you will, to a wound. Prayer is an exercise that God promises to bless. Consider these scriptures. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, I love this verse, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know what? You want to see some great things happen in your life? Instead of quitting your prayer life, well, God doesn't answer, God doesn't hear, you just keep on praying. He hears more, a whole lot more than you think. He knows right where you are. The Bible says, you know what? Here's a promise. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee. That's a promise. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You may think, hey, I don't see the way out. Hey, you call upon God and he'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Well, my bills are just too much. Hey, you call upon God and he'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hey, I've got illness in my family. Hey, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. My job situation is tough. I got a pink slip at work. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What I'm trying to say, we need to get back to prayer again. We need to get back to calling upon God again. We need to get back to call upon him. And he promises, hey, I'll listen to you. I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. John 16:23, another prayer promise. And in the day, and in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. That's another prayer promise. If we come and pray with a clean heart of faith, we can rest assured that God will hear and answer our prayers. Matthew 21:22, very small verse, but I love this verse. In all things, not some things. Think about this verse. In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. You know, sometimes we go to our prayer closet, well, God, kind of like a test. I'll try it. I'll see. You know, we don't go in believing. We go in with a lack of faith. You know, the Bible says, you know what, we go in with a clean heart of faith and say, okay, God, you know what, I don't, you know, God, you know my situation. And you go in with a whole old heart of faith, a clean heart of faith, say, okay, God, I'm laying it out to you. And you bow your knee to God, and you just give your heart to God, and you just go ahead and you name all the woes and all the struggles and everything to God. He'll go ahead and answer you. And if you go in believing, the Bible says, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. But you got to have faith. Hey, listen, that's the definition of prayer. Description of prayer is it should be constant. You know, we should always be in the spirit of prayer, allowing the Holy Spirit to prompt us to pray, being sensitive to his leading. You know, how often, if we're not careful, you know, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, obviously. But when I got saved, I got all of the Holy Spirit that was given to me. And the truth of the matter is, I'll ask you a question again. Does he have all of you this morning? You know, you have all the access to the Holy Spirit, but this morning, hey, listen to me. But you know what? Our prayer ought to be constant. This is a description of prayer. It should be always. We should be in the spirit of prayer all the time, allowing the Holy Spirit to prompt you. You know what? When you drive down the street and you see an accident, what do you think of? You know, the truth of the matter is, boy, you ought to allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and say, you know what? Lord, please be with that situation. Be with the individuals involved. Be with the family that's involved. Be with the family of the loved one that's at home that just maybe found out about it. Hey, you know what? That's being in the spirit of prayer. That's constant prayer, allowing the Holy Spirit to go ahead and prompt you to pray, if you will. You know, if you're in tune with the Spirit, you'll be moved to pray. I say that again. If you're in tune with the Holy Spirit of God in your life and he lives in you, he comes in and moves in at salvation. If you're in tune with him, you know what? You'll be moved to pray. We would not have trouble with prayer if we'd be sensitive to his leading, allowing him to lead you to prayer time. We should be constantly in prayer. It doesn't mean that we carry on some constant babbling, if you will. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that we throw up a bunch of meaningless prayers and words and phrases, if you will. The Bible says in Matthew 6:7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. You see, the heathen were guilty of two things in their prayer. They were guilty of vainglory, and they were guilty of vain repetitions. It was like when they prayed, they wanted everybody in the room to go ahead and hear them. Look at me. I'm Mr. Spiritual. They want to go ahead and show off, if you will, that, so to speak, their Christ-likeness, if you will, their godliness, so-called, if you will. Look at me. You know, that's all vain. You know, when we pray, we ought to get a hold of God and allow him to move in our life. Doesn't matter who's around. Doesn't matter, you know, we ought not, you know, and I'm not against vocal praying. It happens, and in prayer meetings and different things, nothing wrong with that. But the truth of the matter is, if we're there to go ahead and try to impress, we're praying for the wrong reason. Truth of the matter is, who should we be impressing? God? Not others? Not what people may think of us because of our eloquent speech, if you will, in prayer. The heathen prayed to impress. We ought not be praying that way. We ought to be, Matthew 6:6 teaches, we ought to enter in our closet, shut the door. That's proof that we're not looking to impress man, but a desire that we need to get a hold of God. You know what? You get in that closet door, if you will, behind that prayer closet, if you will, and you shut the door. You know what? It's just you and God. It proves that you're not trying to impress the world. It proves that you're not trying to say, hey, look at me. You know, I am somebody. I'm a saved Christian. Hey, there's nothing wrong. And by the way, you get in tune with God. You know, the people can tell if you're saved or not. The people can tell that you're a child of God. If you stay in tune with God and you stay in step with God, they're going to go ahead and tell that. You don't need to go ahead and go off and impress in your prayers and stuff like that. You don't necessarily need to go ahead and do that. You walk with God behind a prayer closet. You get on your knees behind a prayer closet. You shut everything down and you get in tune with God. Let me tell you something. People will notice. People will just notice by your walk, by your talk, by how you handle things, by your honesty, by the fruits of the Spirit, if you will, that the Bible teaches in Galatians. Hey, the truth of the matter is, we ought not be praying to impress. We ought to get into our own closet, shut everything down, and pray. Pray for others. Pray for others' needs. Pray for the power of God. We need to be in constant prayer. You know, we ought to take 1 Thessalonians 5:17, very short verse, pray without ceasing. We ought to take that to heart. Pray without ceasing. I like to call it shouldering the phone with God. You know how it is. You know, my mother was good at it. My mother was very good. You know, growing up as a kid, we had this big old farm kitchen and big kitchen and so forth, and she had the old rotary-style phone. Remember that? And she, you know, it was amazing. She could go ahead and talk on that phone, and it was a nice long cord, so she could go ahead and go all around in that kitchen. And she'd go ahead and talk and be washing dishes and be cooking things on the stove and be making bread making her homemade bread and so forth. The kitchen table, we all scattered with the flour and the dough and so forth. And all the while, she'd be talking to her friend on the phone. That's called shouldering the phone. You know, she was still productive, if you will. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? Praying without ceasing, we ought to be in constant prayer. That's much like shouldering the phone with God, if you will. You know what? You ought to keep God online. You ought to keep him, so to speak, shoulder that phone, if you will, with God. And when the Holy Spirit impresses you to pray, you ought to pray. You ought to be in constant prayer mode, if you will. Keep God online at all times. Just you and God talking throughout the day. It's okay. Some people may have to commit you a little bit because they'll see your lips moving and kind of talking to yourself. Truth of the matter is, I just say, I'm not talking, I'm talking to the Lord. And the truth of the matter is, the workers, the co-workers, they may laugh at you, whatever, but the truth of the matter is, go ahead and let them laugh. It's very, very important business that you're doing with God at the time. Hey, pray without ceasing. Constant prayer is not to impress, but it is necessary if we're going to remain close to God and remain clean and have the strength to go ahead and fight the battles that we face. The classification of our prayers, all prayers, the Bible says in verse 18, praying always, okay, that's constant, if you will, with all prayer and supplication. That's a classification. Genuine prayer covers all the bases. A good soldier will employ will employ various types of prayer. Some of these types, I've used many of these often, they're silent prayer. Okay, throughout the day, you're driving down the street, or you're kind of out and about working and so forth, and you're engaging in a quiet prayer, if you will, with the Lord. There's vocal prayer. That would be when I pray for the offering, or opening the service, or your Sunday school class, or oftentimes we've had, you know, in prayer meetings and different things. That is vocal prayer, spontaneous prayer, prayer at a moment's notice. Sometimes someone may see this, that you're a Christian, they may come and ask you to pray. It's spontaneous. You ought to be ready to pray. Prayers of supplication and intercession. That's what Jesus did on the cross, interceding for us. Amen. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what? A prayer of intercession is when you see someone stray, when you see someone fall by the wayside, instead of us being critical, you know what a prayer of intercession is? We pray for them. We're interceding on God's behalf. Listen, prayers of intercession, prayer of thanksgiving, prayer of confession. Boy, the first part of my prayer list is confession. You say, yeah, to God. Not some little booth here, but I just before a holy God, say, Lord, I'm sorry. Maybe I haven't prayed like I should have. I haven't walked with you the way I should have. I shouldn't have done this, or whatever the case may be. God, forgive me. Prayer of adoration. God, you're so great. God, you're so marvelous. God, thank you. Prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my church. Thank you for my salvation. God, thank you for loving me enough to die on the send your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. Thank you, God, for my cars. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my preacher. Thank you for my Sunday school teacher. Thank you for my church. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my husband. That's prayer of thanksgiving. A wise soldier will use the weapon of prayer to give him the strength to fight on. My soldier will go ahead and employ various types of prayer in his life. Much quitting comes because we don't get tapped in. People go ahead and leave church. People go ahead and leave their walk with God. People leave God simply because we have not been tapped in daily in a season of prayer. that we have our companion in prayer. The Bible says praying always is constant, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer lives. The Bible says in Romans 8, I'll turn to it if you want to, you may. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, the Bible says, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will. He helps our infirmities. He knows what we need to pray for. He prompts us, if you will, and tells us what we need to pray for. A Spirit-filled prayer recognizes the Holy Spirit and within himself, and allows him to guide our praying. That kind of prayer will keep us from praying in the flesh. Kind of keep us from praying for what we want. God, I sure would love to have that 2010 Ford Mustang. You knew it was coming, didn't you? You know, the truth of the matter is, God says, maybe in due time, but it's not for you now. I don't know. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? Recognizing the Holy Spirit within in your prayer life will keep you from praying in the flesh. Our prayer lives should be like every part of our lives. It should be brought under subjection of the Holy Spirit. Our prayer life ought to be right under subjection, submitting to the Holy Spirit. Our whole life ought to be submitted to the Holy Spirit of God. Otherwise, we will find ourselves praying selfishly and foolishly, and the result hindered an ineffective prayer life. The Bible says in James 4, this is how a lot of people pray right here. Verses 1 through 3, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. In other words, they're praying for what they want, for what the lust of the flesh want, so forth, and they're not praying in the Spirit. Hey, when we voice our prayer to God, I lost my place here. Otherwise, we find ourselves praying selfishly. Real prayer is not what I can get from me. What prayer is, it ought to be what God wants me to have. Amen? God wants you to have the power of God upon your life. God wants you to have a prayer life. God wants to go ahead and use you. And the truth of the matter is, if we're not careful, we will pray selfishly. God, I. Oh, God, you, of what do you want me? I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be what you want me to be, oh God. I will go ahead and be what you want. It's not what I want out of this life. God, what do you want me to have? That's praying in the Holy Spirit. We must always remember that real, genuine prayer starts in heaven with God. The Father originates the prayer. The Holy Spirit brings the thought of that to our mind. Then we voice that prayer placed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and we send it back to prayer to God where it originated in the first place. That's what prayer is. Prayer is like a big giant triangle. It starts here, goes to the Holy Spirit, comes over to here to us, and then it goes back to God. That's what prayer is. When we truly pray in the Spirit, we can always be confident that we are praying according to God's will and God's plan. He will hear and answer our prayers when we truly pray in the Spirit. The Bible says in 1 John 5:14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So that means if I get on my knees, I say, God, I want this. I want to do this. I want to do this. If it's not God's will, he's not going to necessarily hear that prayer. But when I allow the Holy Spirit to prompt me, and me allowing him to originate the prayer, if you will, in my heart, and it goes back to him, the Bible says when I pray in his will, according to his will, he heareth us. The Bible says in verse 15 of 1 John 5, and we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions or requests that we desired of him. So we have the definition of prayer, we have the description of prayer, then number three, the determination of prayer, a determination, if you will, of using that secret weapon of prayer. If we are to be truly effective in our Christian life and battles, then we must not allow prayer to be hit or miss. It must be a constant part of our life. You know, so often, if we're not careful, I've been there. Later, I'll do it. You know, the truth of the matter is, later generally doesn't come. God, I'll pray later. I'll do it later on. It generally doesn't come. You know, I have no time right now. No, we generally won't find the time. You know what? Like I said, you schedule it. You have a place for it. It'll get done. You schedule that walk with God. You schedule your prayer life, and you have a place. You know, it'll get done. That time that's necessary, that very important ingredient in your life for you to go ahead and have the strength to fight, for you to go ahead and have the strength to keep on going on, which is essential for your Christian life, that prayer part of your life, you know, it'll get done if you plan it and if you have a place for it. Hey, we need to be determined to use it. The very most important element of our daily walk often can be passed off because we don't plan it. Because we and the truth of the matter is we get discouraged if we don't tap in to the resource, which is Jesus Christ. We must be constant in our prayer. We must be consistent in our prayer. And we must be totally centered on God in our prayer. We must be alert. We must be watching for opportunities to pray and watching for things that will hinder our prayer life. But the devil, boy, he'll do everything he can to try to get you to that prayer closet, won't he? He'll do everything he can. I don't feel good. You know, the truth of the matter is the very reasons why we have, the very reasons we use to not get to the prayer closet are the very reasons we ought to be praying generally. Now, I don't feel good. Boy, that's a good reason to get a hold of God. I don't, whatever the case may be, we find every reason, but we must be alert in our prayer life. You know, God expects us to pray, but at the same time, he expects us to be alert of what the devil's doing. To pray and not watch is to leave one vulnerable to defeat. Number two, we must be active. The Bible says right here, praying always in verse 18, praying always, constant with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance. We must be active. We must be persevering. It means that we pray until we get an answer from God. I alluded to it earlier. I said earlier, you know what? Oftentimes when we don't go ahead and we don't get the answer right away, we kind of, well, we get discouraged about it. The truth of the matter is we ought not be operating on our timetable. Let's operate on God's. And generally, we quit our prayer life just about the time that God may have been just about ready to answer. We fall short of that, whatever, that time. Well, it didn't work. I prayed for a whole week. Maybe he just wanted you one more hour. Maybe you're just looking for that one more day. Boy, you need to be persevering in prayer. We feel like if it's not on our timetable, then we're not going to go ahead and pray. You know, spoiled Christianity is getting what one wants when they want it. But you know what real Christianity is? Being patient until God gives it to you. Being patient. Too often we give up before the Spirit of God says stop or just about the time the answer comes. We ought to continue in prayer until God says enough or until the answer comes. You know, the book of Acts, Acts chapter 12, it teaches that the early church, you can read it later, teaches the early church, he practiced perseverance in prayer. Maybe it's no wonder why the church, the book of Acts, was so successful. How could they persevere in prayer? Hey, we must be asking. Supplication for the saints, the Bible says right here in verse 18. You know, that's requesting, that's praying on others, for others, if you will. You know, We ought to understand, we're not in the battle alone. Sometimes we think, if we're not careful, it's so easy in the flesh to say, you know what, am I the only one going through this? You know what, we're all on the same team. We're saved today. We're not going through the battle all by ourselves. All around, there's Christians having a tough time. There's Christians having a difficult time. They, too, are struggling with the same enemy. You know what? I have the same enemy that you have. I have the devil poking and prodding at me just like you have the devil poking and prodding at you. Our duty ought to be praying for one another. By the way, you know, if we get busy praying for one another, it'd be so hard to go ahead and criticize them. If we get busy praying for one another in the Spirit like we should be, as the Bible teaches, boy, it'd be very, very hard to be critical of another brother. Be very hard to go ahead and just start using this tongue, which the Bible says in James is like a fire and it destroys. But I've seen it happen. One Christian gets upset with another Christian and starts going ahead and using their tongue to destroy. And oftentimes it destroys not just one of them, but both of them. And they wander so far away from God. You know what? Let me just say this. You get in the spirit of prayer like you ought to. You get praying for others in prayer, supplication in the spirit, and watching perseverance and supplication for all saints. You get praying for others, it'll be very, very hard for you to go ahead and yap about them and be critical of them. Boy, we need to be praying for one another. We need to be not point fingers, if you will, at one another. You know, like it or not, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all in the same army. Regardless of how some act, you know what? We're not enemies. And even if we think another Christian brother, and they ought not be to us, another Christian brother is an enemy, you know what? We're still to pray for them. We're to love them anyways, the Bible says. We ought to be loving them. We are all prone to fall into evil and fail. That's why we need to pray for one another. We all need to help those around us to see us through. That's what real Christianity is, by the way. You know, Jesus went about, you know what? He went about helping and loving people. You know, he wasn't out to go ahead and hurt people. He was out to go ahead and build people up. Boy, that's how we ought to be. Why should we pray? Because Jesus said that by our love for one another would all men know that we are his disciples. John 13:35. Nothing promotes love and unity among God's people like a constant prayer for one another. You want to go ahead, you want to prove your love to that Christian brother, that Christian sister, pray for them. You know, I know it's easy to go ahead and say, you know, and sometimes I fall into this too. I want you to know I'm praying for you. When we walk away, we actually forget it, don't we? I've been there. I've got my hand raised. You know, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Let me ask a question. You know, but the old flesh kind of causes us to forget, don't we? You know, it's a good practice, and I'm trying to pick it up more and more through as I go. Is the moment I say I'm praying for you, I try to take the time at that time and say, let's have a word of prayer. You know, that's so very important. It proves our love for one another. It's impossible. You know, it's impossible to pray for someone if... It is virtually impossible to pray for someone with bitterness, anger, an unforgiving spirit, or hatred in your heart to them. You know, in other words, if you're praying for people, you know what? You'll have a hard time having a bitter spirit towards them, an unforgiving spirit. Nothing you can do will help your brother more than getting under his burden and help him. Take your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 6. I love this scripture, and oftentimes I go to this. This is real Christianity. The Bible says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But, you know, brethren, that's talking to Christians here. If any man be overtaken in a fault, it might be that they get overtaken by sin, generally, or some heartache, and they just kind of get discouraged, and they quit on God, and literally, they fell. Chris, could you come up here a minute? Let me illustrate this a minute. Come on up here. Fine-looking man. Amen. Sorry, come on. Let's say Chris, brother in Christ, saved teenager. Let's say he falls into sin. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, he stumbles. Fall, lay flat. Sorry to mess you up a little bit. You know, oftentimes, listen, a real Christian who's in prayer, Christian who's walking with God, as I mentioned a moment ago, he deserved it. He wouldn't make it anyways. You know what the spiritual Christian's going to do? The one who's in tune with the Holy Spirit of God and praying has a walk with God. Irregardless of whether this brother said anything about him or not, irregardless of maybe if there was a division, what, it doesn't matter. You know what he says? Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Truth of the matter is, it could be me there. And if the tables were turned, what would I want him to do for me? Pastor, you deserve that. Kick him. Walk away. Amen. I know you've had some struggles. Listen, I'm here for you. Hey, come here. You know I'm praying for you. You know, don't worry about, hey, we had a little bit of struggle there. We had a little bit, you know, that's beyond. We're behind that. Sorry this happened and, you know, you fell into sin or whatever the case, but you know, I'm here, brother. I'm going to help you. I'm going to take care of you. I want you to know that if nobody else prays for you, you can count on me. I'm going to be praying. I'm there for you. That's what Christianity is. It's not say, well, you know, he deserved it. He illed me, so I'm going to ill him, so to speak. Nuh-uh. You know, I'm going to lift him up. I'm going to put my arm around him. I'm going to care for this brother. I want to see him restored because I want to see him go on and be a good Christian, a good husband someday, a good dad someday, whatever the case may be. But you know, so often, listen to me, what we'll do is we'll go ahead and harbor some bitterness. Oh, he's the one that said that. I don't really know if I care if he's restored or not. And you realize that kind of attitude could keep him down so much that he could never adequately be where God wants him to be because of that kind of because of that kind of attitude. Love one another. When a brother and sister falls, you know what? We ought to be there to pray for him. Say, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I'll do everything I can to restore you and get you to where you should be and to kind of get you cleaned up, so to speak, so you can go on your way. Thank you, sir. Bear ye one another's burdens, the Bible says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what prayer is. We never know when our prayers, why should we pray for one another? Because we never know when our prayers may be exactly what they needed at the moment that you prayed for them. That's why we should pray for one another. You know how often when we went through cancer and different things, and I literally had people call me up and say, Pastor, past weeks I'm praying for you. And how often when I'm going through a struggle or different things, and it's amazing how the Holy Spirit works, and boy, did I need it at that moment. That's why we ought to be in a constant season of prayer for one another. Because your prayer life, you praying and whispering someone's name out to God in prayer could be just exactly what they needed at that time. It could be exactly what they needed at a moment of decision in their life. They could have been at that moment of decision, I'm done with the Christian life. I feel like it's not fair. I'm through with it. The very moment God's people were over here, pray for so-and-so, God. It was so-and-so. God, I know they've gone to be with them, be with them. Oh, God, please give them strength. I just want you to know, my dear brother, my dear sister, I want you to know I've been praying for you today. And you just never know. That might have been the very time that have kept them from going over the edge. It might be the very thing that they needed at that particular moment. That's why we need to be in constant prayer for one another. Shoulder the phone with God. Pray without ceasing. Be in communication. Be so in tune with the Holy Spirit that when you see a need or when you see something, oh God, when you see an accident, oh God, please be with that situation. When you see, you hear of a loved one or, you know, immediately, you know, when I heard Brother Rick, man, I wanted to be there so bad. Just like I would anybody else. I hope you know that. You know, I talked to him. I said, Rick, I'll come right over to Morton. I'll be right there. He says, Pastor, he says, no. He says, you got to finish VBS. Because he knew. Now, I'll tell you, it was hard. Them 2 hours were very hard for this preacher the other night. It was hard. You know, I lost myself still. But you know, when there's a part of the body of Christ hurting, boy, you know, I was just in prayer throughout the whole day. I said, God, please be with them. Please be with them, God. That's what Christianity is, my friend. I'm not perfect. Don't miss. I'm not trying to point myself as spiritual. Don't misunderstand that. But you know, boy, when I hear you all hurting, man, just it does tear me up. Because I want God's best for you. The truth of the matter is, Christian, we ought to want God's best for Christian people all around us. We ought to be in the season of prayer. You know, we forget that Paul, when he wrote this, he was in prison. Kind of got thinking, what was he saying there, you know, to prompt him to write Ephesians chapter 6. Wonder if he was looking at the Roman guards. He could see the girdle around their waist. He could see the breastplate and the shoes that they had. I'm talking the Roman guards there, those that were guarding him. He saw the helmets and the shields, the swords. He could see the outward signs of their readiness to go ahead and fight. But you know what he could not see? He could not see the soldiers' strength and character of their courage. He couldn't see their heart. So it is in our Christian life. It may be that all looks well on the inside, on the outside. We've got the list on. We've got the armor of God on. We've got the sword of the Spirit. We've got our loins girt. We've got the breastplate. All may look well, but could there be one key ingredient that is needed for you to go ahead and have the true success and the victory in your battle? Could that one key ingredient be missing in your life? That's prayer. That's that closet. That's you shutting everything down. You pushing everything away for a little season. And you finding yourself on bended knee. And you communicating with God, with a holy God. How is your prayer life this morning? You know, no amount of armor can produce a warrior for Christ, but only a prayer to a holy God can accomplish it. Your prayer life, how is it this morning? Is it just a quick time? Dear Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for another day. Amen. How about you getting on bended knee? Praying for your wife, your husband, your family, your children. For your preacher, for your church, for your ministry, for your job. You know, it all takes time. Yeah. You write out a prayer list. The confession. Adoration. Thanksgiving. You write it all out, and you know what? It may take you 10, 15, 20, 25, half hour before you know it, maybe 2 hours. But that's what is going to be needed. If you're going to go ahead and have the success, all the armor is important, but you got to have that weapon of prayer. How's your prayer life this morning? Christian, how's your prayer life? When was the last time that you found yourself in a season of prayer? Maybe, Christian, today you're in the garden, so to speak. The darkest hour of your life. You're right on the verge of saying, I've had it. Jesus, darkest hours of his life, didn't say that. He says, Father, not my will, but thine. Your darkest hour that you may be going through right now, maybe just what God is trying to maybe give you to get your attention to get you back into his will. It might be that the darkest hour, you know, God sees you wandering away a little bit, but you came to that darkest hour in your life and he's saying, I want this battle to get you back into my will, to where I want you to be. So instead of running to the world, which will not help you, why don't you decide to follow Jesus, do what he did in the garden, say, okay, God, whatever it is. I don't know why I'm going through this, but God, I want to learn a lesson from it. God, whatever you want to do, I'm yours. Maybe here today, Christian, you struggling with your prayer life. Maybe you're on the verge of quitting. I don't know. You're in that dark hour. But maybe you're here today. You've never prayed the most important prayer of all. That's the sinner's prayer. You don't know if you're to die today, God forbid, that you'd go to heaven. You know Jesus loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Maybe here today, you don't know for sure that you'd have eternal life in heaven with Jesus. Boy, you know what? The most important prayer that you can ever pray is that sinner's prayer. You got to first of all understand you're a sinner. Realize there's a price on sin. That price is hell. But Jesus, he paid that price. And all you have to do is open your heart. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise. All you have to do is say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I ask, come into my heart, save me, forgive me of my sin. Take me to heaven when I die. And he promises, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't know where you are this morning, but I urge you, Christian, how's your prayer life? Does it need to be strengthened this morning? Maybe here today you don't know Jesus as Savior. Why don't you go ahead and decide, hey, I want to know Jesus as Savior. I want someone to show me from the Bible how he can know for sure I'm saved. And I want to pray the most important prayer of all. That's asking Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the precious King James Bible that you've given us. We thank you, God, for loving us. We thank you, oh, thank you for so much. Now, God, I just pray you, Holy Spirit, have your will and way in this invitation this morning. Pray whatever needs to be done, it ought to be done. I pray, God, that we'll be busy praying for one another. I pray that we'll be busy praying in the Spirit, praying for your will for us, and not what we want, but what you want for us. I pray, dear God, that we be about being in constant prayer, a prayer that's without ceasing. I just pray, dear Lord, you bless. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, maybe here today. Say, preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven, but you know what? I'm struggling in this area of prayer. I will not embarrass you in any way. But you say, preacher, I'm going to admit it. No one's looking around, but would you please pray for me? I'm struggling in this area of prayer, but would you please pray for me? That's it. Several hands. Anybody else? I'm struggling in this area of prayer. Would you please pray for me? You may put your hands down. Maybe here today. Say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I've never prayed the most important prayer of all. But today I want to know. Today I want to know that if I breathe my last breath, that I'm for sure going to heaven. And I want someone to show me from the precious word of God how I can be saved. And I want to pray that most important prayer of all. That's where it starts. If you'd be honest enough, and I will not call you by name, but maybe you're here today, you say, preacher, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I've never prayed that prayer, but I want to know Jesus today. Would you please pray for me? Here's my hand. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Here's my hand. Our Heavenly Father, we do love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. I ask the Holy Spirit, you do what you need to do in this invitation. Our heads are bowed.